Okay, so I want to discuss the tefillah of Avraham Avinu when it was called for Sodom, because based upon the Medrash Rabbah and Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, Sechus Brachos, there are some interesting lessons that we can learn from the discussion in the Torah about Avraham Avinu. So the Torah says, Vayigash Avraham Vayomar. He was mispal on behalf of Sodom, Aftespet Tzadikim Rasha. Abraham came forward and he said, will you even obliterate righteous with wicked? So Rashi mentions, based upon the Medrash Rabbah, but he adds something to it. And Rashi says, Matsinu ha-gashal mulchama. So here the Torah uses the Lashon Vayigash. We find Vayigash refers to mulchama, Vayigash Yoav. Ha-gashal apius, we see that ha-gashal refers to pius, to conciliation. Vayigash elav Yehuda, which is primarily reconciliation. And Vahagasha letfilah, Vayigash el Yohanavi. It's in Melachim, Sef Melachim. So we see the expression Vayigash refers to Melchama, to do battle, refers to pious, to conciliation, and refers to tefillah, to prayer. So Rashi says, L'chol ela nichnas Avram. So Avram Avinu, when he stood up on behalf of stone, he was ready for all three. He was ready for Muhammad, he was ready for Pius, and he was ready for Tzvila. Okay. Rashi says, L'daber koshos, L'pius, L'tzvila. So Rashi is explaining what Muhammad means. What does it mean, Muhammad? You have to have some idea what it means. So Rashi says, he explains Muhammad to mean to speak strongly, because Avraham Avinu spoke strongly. He said, Aftis bet tzadikim rasha, will you obliterate the righteous with the wicked? He said, Chalila chamayasos kadovar hazeh, lohamis tzadikam rasha, vahiyacha tzadikam rasha, chalila lacha, shofet kol aretz al yaseh mishpat. He spoke in very strong terms. He used strong words. And so Rashi says that's what the Medrash Rabbah means when it refers to Muhammad. Apparently that's what Rashi seems to be saying. Pius, we see Pius as well in the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, he says, "Vanochi afar ve'efraim, but dust and ash." So pious means a conciliatory tone, a tone beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for chesed and rachman. When you speak of the davar kashers, he's speaking of speaking as if you have a right to demand something. Ikeilu, you have a right to demand something. That's what davar kashers seems to imply, at least on the surface. But pious seems to imply something different. Pious seems to imply, I have no right to ask anything. This is how Rashi himself explains. Vanochi ofer ve'efraim, but dust and ash. Kvar yisi roi lios ofer al yidei hamlochem, ve'efra al yidei nimrod, lulei rachamecha asher amdulei. If not for your rachamim, for your compassion, I would be nothing. So it's as if Avraham Avinu is saying, I have no right to even open my mouth and speak. So we have on one hand, he was medaber kashos. He spoke strongly, and that was part of the Hagasha Litfila. Okay. And there was Pius, and he also said Ayichar Lashem Vadabera, that also was a Lashem of Pius, of conciliatory tone. And of course there was Tfila. He was praying. There was a request that Sodom and the other city should be spared. So in Vayigash you have all three elements. But Melchama, as an element of tefillah, is puzzling. What does that mean? Does it just mean ledavar kashos? If it only means ledavar kashos, then one would come to the conclusion that only Avraham Avinu was worthy and capable of such tefillah. Only Avraham Avinu could speak that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could speak that way. No, we don't have that closeness. We can't speak that way. So for us, Melchama then has no place in tefillah. And one may come to this conclusion based upon the Gemara, the Mishnah Maseches Tainis. The Mishnah Maseches Tainis mentions that which happened in connection with Choni HaMa'agel. So Maisa Sha'amal Choni HaMa'agel, his spawl she yerduk shamim. So they asked him, there was a drought, and the Jews asked him to spawl that rain should come down. So Amalem Tzuvich Nisut HaRipsachim Shal Yimoku, he told him to take in the ovens that they were going to roast the Karban Pesach and that it shouldn't dissolve in the rain. He was confident that HaKadosh Baruch would respond to him. His spawl of a lo yardu kshamim. There was no kshamim. Ma asa ag uga v'amid besoch v'am lefana v'vonu shalom. B'necha samu p'neim alai shanika ben bayis b'necha. They're placing their eyes upon me. So Nishba ani b'shimcha agadol she'ini zazi mikan at shetarach alonecha. He drew a circle and he said, I take a shvu with your holy name. I'm not leaving until your merachem, until the rain comes down. So zchiluk shama minatvim, so it began to trickle. Amar lo kach shalti, this isn't what I asked for. El gishmi baro sicha maros. I asked for a rain that's going to fill up all the water holes and all the water holes and the ditches and the caves. So his chilo leirid bezafs and started to fall with fury. And he said, lo kach shalti, el gishmi rotzen brachan adava. I was asking for rain of bracha. I wasn't asking for this kind. So yardu katikon, and the rain came down in the proper way. So shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach was the abbess and sent him a message. Holy chone, if not for the fact that you were on this special madrega, gozrani alecha nidoy, I would place a nidoy upon you. You don't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way in tefillah. What can I do to you? Sha'ata mischate lefnei hamakom va'osa lecha ritzoncha. Keben shu mischate ove va'osa ritzona. The word mischate is not clear exactly what it means. Rashi in Brachos explains it one way, but it seems from some Rishonim, from Rashi and Tosfos and Menachos, and from Rambam Perush Mishnah, that it means to have a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a child with a parent. A child with a parent can speak in a certain way that other people can't. So you have this close relationship, so I'm not going to be closer neatly. But anyone else that would talk this way in Tevilah, he's deserving of being excommunicated. So to be medarvik kashos is certainly not for, to speak in strong terms, it's not for, it's perhaps for Avraham Avinu, perhaps for Choni Magal, but Milchama has no place in our tefillah. That's how it would seem. But if we look at the conclusion of Medrash Rabbah, it doesn't seem that way. Because the Medrash Rabbah says, based upon this, Rav Pinchas, Rav Levi, Rav Yochanan, Zeshu over lefnei ha-teva, when someone is the Shliach Tzivor, how do you tell him to go up? So in Omrim lo bovase, you don't say go and do our needs and take care of our tzrachim. No, that's not what you say. You say bo krav lesbalo. You say bo krav lesbalo. Because krav lesbalo implies all three. It implies melchama, and implies pias, and it implies tefillah. So you have to direct the shliach tzivor. If he's praying on behalf of the tzivor, he has to incorporate all three elements in his tefillah on behalf of the tzivor. So, and this is what the Medrash Rabbah says, and it's Yerushalmi as well, the same memory, Rav Pinchas, Rav Levi, Rav Yochanan, B'shem Menachem Daglaya. Zesh Olav Ha'Teva, it's expressed slightly differently. Ein Omlo Bo Lisbalo, you don't say Go and Be Misbalo, you don't say Go and Down, you don't say Go and Be Misbalo. El Bo Krav, why? Because that implies a lot, it implies Asei Kravanenu, Asei Tzarchenu, that's the two elements of Tzvila, of Bakashat Tzarchav and Tzvila's Kenegat Tzvidim. Asei Mulchamosenu, Payes Vadenu. So, carry on our mulchafa, our battle, and be mafayas for us. So apparently, this vayigash, the vayigash of Avraham Avinu has general application. It doesn't only apply to a giant like Avraham Avinu, it applies to everyone. But it's somewhat difficult to understand. What does it mean? We have no right to medarvik kashos, as Shimon ben Shatach said. So then if we don't have a right to medarvik kashos, what does milchama mean? What does it mean, milchama, as part of tefillah? What does it mean? It's interesting that there is a minhag. The Rambam mentioned Simon Tzadik Daled. This is not mentioned in the Gemara, not mentioned in the Rambam. But there's a minhag to take three steps forward before one's mispala. The Gemara Neumah mentioned taking three steps at the siyum of the tefillah, at the conclusion of the tefillah. Take three steps forward. That's not mentioned in the Gemara. But the Rokeach mentions that minhag, and the Rama mentions it. Gishon lispal yelin chafon of shalosh psios derech kiro vahagosha ledavish etzara klasos. So you should step forward three steps as if you are being an act of vayigash. It's interesting. The Rama in Dark Emotion mentions more of what the Rokeach says, that we find vayigash in connection with tefillah in three places. We find it in connection with Avram, vayigash Avram. We find vayigash Elav Yehuda, which Chazal say was tefillah as well. And in Sefer Melachim, vayigash Eliyahu Hanavi. So because it's mentioned vayigash in the tefillah three times, that's why there's a minute to step forward three steps. That's the three steps. I would suggest that perhaps if the Medrash Rabba says that in Tefillah there are three elements, and the Yerushalmi says the three elements, and the Yerushalmi says when you direct L'Shiratzibah, you have to direct them and incorporate this Tefillah, all three elements, perhaps the Vayigash is not just the three psios, the Gimel psios, is not just because Vayigash is mentioned three times, it's also because in the Vayigash there are three elements. In the Vayigash, there are three hachonas you have to be making for. You have to be making for pios, you have to be making for melchama, and you have to be making for tefillah. But the question really is, what is this idea of melchama? What does that mean? It certainly, ladava kashos is not relevant to us. So what does melchama mean? So I saw that the Pnei Moshe, that's one of the Farshim and Yerushalmi, he says that melchama means negen ha-makatrek. That melchama means when you stand to misfall, you have to wage battle against the accuser. That's what he says. You have to wage battle against the accuser. Okay, it sounds like then melchama may be a different concept than what Rashi is saying with Dharma Kashyap. But is it a different concept? Or is one really emanate from the other? This idea of makatra gimen tefillah, we find in some of the poskim as well. Mishnah Berurah mentions it from the Yorav and the Matan Moshe in Siman Nun Dalet. So there the halacha is, it's based upon Yerushalmi. Hamisaper ben yishtavach liyotzer ar averi biyado v'chozo aleha me'orchel mechala. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but that's Yerushalmi. That you're not allowed to talk between Yishtavach and Yotzirah. What is this Indian of Chozer Olam Aruch HaMelchama? Because that's the din that's discussed in Masechta Sota. So you have a lot of Aruch HaMelchama. So the Mishum Melchama directs the Shotrim what they should say. Okay, and then the Shotrim will say, Miyo Ish Shabana Bayis. So Yelich V'Yashav Abay. So certain people are putter from the Melchama. They're relieved of any obligation to go, and they return home. Fine. But then we also have that the Shotrim say, Miho ish hayore v'rach ha-levov, yelech v'yash l'vayt. So someone who's fearful. So what does fearful mean? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili means he's fearful because of an averis shaviyad. He's fearful because of any averis he may have committed. He's afraid to participate in the Muhammad, so he's free to go. So Yerushalmi says that what kind of avera? Someone who talks between Yishtavach and Yotzar is chozer me'orcha mechama. He has reason to be fearful from participant Melchama, because it's not there. So the Matan Moshe mentions a pshat, which is not the literal pshat of Soch ben Yishamasapa Mishtavchitz or Aver Biyod Bechotim Melchama. It's certainly not literal. It's some alderach of not literal explanation of the Yishalmi, that there are gedudim that are Marichim Melchama, that's the Lashem of the Matan Moshe, the Overrabbi mentions. They're Gdudim, the Marichim Melchama, Shalom Yikubo Tfilaso. There are battalions of soldiers, so to speak, that wage battle that interfere with our tefillahs. They shouldn't be accepted. But when we say Psuki Dizimra, the Shvach Vahadot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Nispazra the Psuki Dizimra. That's what Psuki Dizimra accomplishes. It causes these battalions of soldiers that have the intent of makatrigim, of interfering with tefillahs, they're scattering. Okay, but hasach ben yishtavach yitzar is chozor olav me'orcha melchama, chozor melchama. They all come back together and they regroup. So it interferes with the effect of the tefillah. That's an interpretation of the Yerushalmi. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah mentions this. He adds in some Kabbalistic language, which I can't really discuss it because I don't understand it. But this is the basic idea. In other words, we see that there are certain mekatrigim, there are accusers that interfere with our tefillahs. And we have to wage battle against these mekatrigim. We have to wage battle. We have to wage battle when you stand up. By yigash, when you stand up, hagosh l'tefillah, you have to be ready to wage battle against mekatrigim. We have to know who the Makatra Gama to wage battle. Who are they? How do we wage battle? Who are they? That's the question. And how does this fit in with the Rashi, with Dabar Koshos? So that's the question. So I would like to explain this based upon something I saw in the Droshas of the Rav, and something also I heard from my father, that's all. And the Rav the discusses that there are different types of tefillah. Okay. There's the tefillah of the Kol HaVavchem. The tefillah of the Kol HaVavchem, That's the mitzvah say, avodah shvilei. Okay? And how do you do that? There is a very specific formula. There's a formula of shvach, bakash, sarach, avodah. That's how you do it. But then there's another mitzvah, bishas sarach. There's a mitzvah to mitzvah shas sarach. And that the Rambam mentions in Chastanios, which is asim in Atara, lizok l'ariyah v'chatzos, or something called tzara shetavah l'tzivar. So that's a mitzvah, the Rambam calls it, of lizok, to cry out. It's a mitzvah of tefillah v'shatzar. But they're totally different. The mitzvahs are totally different. What are some of the differences? In terms of the mitzvah of avodah shvilei, so there's a specific seder tefillah. Shvach, bakash tzarech, avodah, that's how Shmoneh Esrei, or every tefillah, amida, is broken down to these three parts. So there's a specific formula. Okay, that's one difference. But in terms of Bishas Sarah, that's Slichas. They're the tefillahs, the Yud Gimel Midas, based upon the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. That's how we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reciting Yud Gimel Midas. So that's one basic difference between tefillah of Avodah Shvileiv and tefillah Bishas Sarah. Then another difference is that tefillah has to, Avodah Shvileiv has to be Balachash. Zo'aka is clearly doesn't have to be Balachash. On the contrary, the whole word Zo'aka implies it's better not being Balachash. With Zo'ik, with Zo'ik. Okay? And then another difference is that tefillah requires Amida Kamalacham. The Gemara learns that HaPasak, Ragleim Regal Ishara. So it was like 1 foot. We stand with the feet together. And in Slichas, there's no such halacha. There's no halacha of Kivan Raglayim. It's totally different. It's different types, formats of tefillah and different types of tefillah. So what's the basic difference? So what the Rav says is tefillah is from a Lashon Polol, to judge. It's mishpat. It's mishpat. What does mishpat mean? Mishpat means a person stands forward, he stands up, and he presents his requests in a dignified manner, as if he has some right to ask that. It's an expression of the dignity of man. That's what tefillah is. Whereas zaaka is different. Zaaka is a screech. It's an animalistic cry. A person just cries out. That's the difference. Let me quote. So the Rav says that tefillah is based upon man's closeness to God and on human greatness and dignity. That's what tefillah is based upon. Man is great. Man has the ability to present, to make a logical presentation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shvach, bakash, tzarech, avodah, and to ask in a way that is logical and reasonable. It's a rational presentation. It makes sense. That's what tefillah is. Zo'aka is not reasonable. It's not rational. It's a cry. And B'shas Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allows us to cry out to him without presenting it in a logical and a reasonable way. We just cry. It's an animalistic scream, animalistic screech. That's the difference. Let me quote some of the words of Rav. It's written in, it's a speech that was written up in Sefer Noros HaRav. So tefillah differs from tzaka. Tefillah means to think, to judge, and is based on the premise that man is a great being and is endowed with intellect, not awarded to other creatures. Man is capable of analyzing, judging, discriminating, and arriving at decisions. Man has freedom of choice. Tefillah is the result of the dignity of man. Tzaka, I'm skipping. Tzaka, on the other hand, is a shriek. It is instinctual. It is an instinctual prayer. It is not premeditated. Many times man does not pray as a dignified being, but as an animal who screams in pain to God. Modern man is capable of losing every attribute bestowed by God to him, including his dignity, his rationality, his intellect. He suddenly realizes that he is in distress and in crisis and has forgotten how to speak. He then shrieks. Often God rejects the prayer of dignified man since man is culpable, and God may feel that man has not lived up to his potential. God may have unfilled claims against man, which would leave God to reject man's claims and prayers. Hence, when man approaches God as an animal, God has no claims against him, and often accedes to man's saka. So, tefillah, avodah shvileiv, that's an expression of dignity. If we're not worthy of it, God doesn't have to listen to us. But tzaka, b'shas tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he'll listen to atzaka, even if we're not worthy. It's not mishpat. It's not a rational presentation. We give an animalistic scream, not based on irrationality, based on it's instinctual prayer. It's expression of pain. That's what it is. It's two different types of tefillah. And that's why there are differences. Tefillah requires kivan ra'ayim. You have to make a dignified presentation. You have to stand up like a human being. It requires also you have to wear a special begadim. Tefillah, it has a special format. It has to be reasonable. It has to be logical. First shmach, then bakasha sarcho, then hodah. Tefillah is balachash. You don't scream. You don't yell. You speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a logical presentation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to yell to hear him. But tzaka is an expression of pain. Then it has to be done as an expression of pain. I heard my father another point, that lispalel is binyan hispoel. It's reflexive. It means self-judgment. Meaning, and I understand this in line of what the Rav is saying, that if tefillah is mishpat, if we have to be misakin our guf, and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way, if the misakin al avush and be dressed possibly, we have to misakin ourselves too. How can we not endeavor to improve ourselves and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and present a rational explanation as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us our requests? So there has to be a lehispalel. There has to be a spalel. So who are the mekatrigim? The mekatrigim are really our own misdeeds. They are the mekatrigim. I think we see this if you look at the lashon of the Mata Moshe Mishabura. Those are the mekatrigim. The mekatrigim are our own misdeeds, our own mistakes that distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if tefillah is mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to present in a logical and rational way our requests. It can't be a rational presentation if we're not worthy of it. So the mekatrigim are our own misdeeds that and the results of our mistakes that interfere with our tefillahs. So how do we carry out the battle against the mekatrigim? We carry out the battle against the mekatrigim by trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the tefillah, the bakasha sarchav, actually begins with that. The first thing we ask is for das. Atachon in ladam das. What is das? Das helps us understand how to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We elaborate on this in the Tefillah Motzei Shabbos. Atachon antanu l'mada torasecha. L'famdenu l'asis v'kumetzecha. We need das. That's the first request. Then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enable us to do tshuva. Hashiveinu v'inu l'sorasecha v'kharveinu malkeinu l'sorasecha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the roots of his tshuva. He desires tshuva. Then we ask for slicha, slach lonavin. We speak about our close relationship, which we don't mention throughout the entire Shemoneh Esrei. We mention it three times in the bracha of tshuva and the bracha of slicha. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as avino. In the Sim Shalom, we also refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as avino, because shalom relates to our ab-ben relationship. That's what shalom means. So as we begin the bakasha sarachav, we try to inspire ourselves and elevate ourselves to come close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the milchama against the mekatrigim. This is mishpat. This is mishpat. In order to be mishpat, we have to judge ourselves and we have to improve ourselves. Now, of course, we're human beings. We have frailties. We are not perfect beings, but we have to at least take a step forward. Every tefillah has to be a step forward. Then it can be mishpat, even if it's a small step. But a step forward. That's what the brachas of Atachonein Hashivenu Mezuzecha and Slach Lavinu Kiratanu imply, that every tefillah, the bakasha sarcha begins with a step forward of inspiring ourselves and elevating ourselves. That's our melchama against the mekatrigim. So on one hand, tefillah is pious, because no human being really has the right to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and as mishpat and say, I'm entitled. No one has the right to say that. Avraham Avinu said, "Anochi ofer ve'efer." No human being can say, "I deserve." What did Yaakov say in his tefillah? "Katonti michal chasid michal meser shisavdecha." Katonti, Rashi says, means I've been diminished by what you've granted me. The Ramban says it means I'm undeserving. But in any event, it means no human being is worthy of saying, "I deserve this. I deserve that." So on one hand, Pius, so how am I follow as mishpat? The two seem to be contradictory. The answer is we follow as mishpat because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a license. Because he tells us, there's a mitzvah of the v'chol v'avcham, you should do this. So how do we do it? We do it by trying to take a step forward. That for us is sufficient mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a license to misfollow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take a step forward, if you judge yourself and take a small step forward, that's already a level of mishpat that entitles you to misfal. So on one hand, pios may seem to be contradictory with mishpat, and on one level it is, but on another level it's not. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a license to mispael. And he says that as long as you judge yourself and you try to come close, then I allow you to mispael. Then you have the right, you have a license to mispael. So tefillah has to have pious. We have to recognize that by all, logically, we really have no right. But it's mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it. But mishpat means milchama. We have to fight against the makatrikim that interfere. Who are the makatrikim? The makatrikim are our own creation. We create the makatrikim. They interfere with our tefillahs. They distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to come close. And to come close, we have to fight. And we fight right away. That's the battle against the makatrikim if we do it in a sincere way. Psuka de Zimra is a hachana. That's also a fight against the makatrikim. The shvach v'odot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it inspires us, causes the makatrikim to scatter. It allows us to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the katrikim are doing. They're keeping a distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what vayikach really means, to come close. Well, tefillah means you have to come close. But they're makatrikim, so we have to do battle against the makatrikim. And Avraham Avinu, he also felt that I'm makatrikim. And his tefillah also had to be one of inspiration, motivation, commitment, devotion, and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was his tefillah? It's interesting how Rav Hirsch explains the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. He said, "Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim v'socheir ha'aftis pevos yisol ha'kol maman chamishim tzadikim asher b'kirba." So Avraham Avinu said, if there are 50 tzadikim, will you not spare the city for them? Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu spare the whole city for them if it's a wicked city? Avraham Avinu said as follows, this is how Rav Hirsch explains it. He said, "Besolcha'ir." He didn't say bo'ir, besolcha'ir. He meant tzadikim that didn't sit locked up in their houses. Tzadikim that were interested in improving the people of the city. If there are people in the city that are interested in improving the other residents of the city, I put myself in their place. How would I feel if I lived in the city and I was devoted to improving them spiritually and then they would be destroyed? I would feel as if it's my own death. And if in fact the city will be destroyed, and there are tzaddikim b'solcha'ir that are interested in improving and working on the resident city and helping them achieve and grow spiritually, then to kill the rishonim is to kill the tzaddikim as well. That's how I would feel. So this was Avraham Avinu's battle against the makatrikim. He was saying, I'm motivated to bring Malchut Shemayim to the entire world. I want to do whatever I can. I put myself in their place, in the place of the tzaddikim. That's how Rav Hirsch is explaining it. So in Avraham Avinu's tefillah, there was a melchama, there was commitment, there was devotion and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing is, Avraham Avinu's tefillah and his melchama was on such a high level. His mishpat was so elevated, he had a right to speak in a way that we can't speak. And perhaps Choni HaMa'agil as well had a right to speak in certain ways. But we can't take the melchama. Our melchama is not so powerful that we destroy the makatrikim in such a way that we are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the license of tefillah allows us to go so far. We're not on that madrega. We have to keep in mind what Shimon ben Shatach said, El Moli Choni Atah, Gozrach Alach Anidoi. Those are words that apply to us. But the basic concept of Vayikash, that tefillah implies, Hagasha of tefillah implies pius, implies mocham, and implies tefillah. That applies to all of us. And that's what the Yerushalmi is telling us. Mm-hmm.